written purpose, unless if there is a comment that is about life and death, then we can take that comment. Then if there is no such a comment, we can move direct to the military veterans brief. Honorable Nonia, honorable yourself.
Thank you, Chair. There's just one aspect of the briefing that I think we do need some clarity on, and that is, and it was mentioned, the African capacity for immediate response to crisis. Now, my understanding is in this year, the shortfall for training will be reprioritized within the budget of the Defense Force. So how much need, what is the quantum, and how is it going to be financed from within the existing budget? And then what contingency, how much would the contingency be in the event of us, of the Defense Force being committed? So in short, what are the actual figures and how will they be financed from within the existing budget in the 2014-15 financial year? Thank you.
Honorable Mania, I thought the how part of financing this project is also a challenge that the department is facing, because it's not only about South Africa. I thought, unless if they have, I don't think they'll have an answer, but maybe they'll answer that. Honorable Issa.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just would like to, just the comments that I want to make. Concerning the IT system, I do appreciate it cannot be a generic one, and one cannot use the normal IT system. You now have to customize it. But clearly there are asset management systems that can interface and that can be very quickly adapted and customized for the needs of the South African National Defense Force. Also, the report lines, especially when it comes to asset management itself, the first call that comes up for the OC of any base is totally responsible to hand in those inventories and to update it on the status of the particular equipment and what is in the inventories of the South African National Defense Force. So I think from that line, there should be a number of inventories completed already and information available, and that can almost eliminate or minimize the issue of the qualification that the department will get in terms of asset management. And I think that's our major concern. The second one, sir, is the issue of the HR. Clearly, there is underfunding, not underfunding in terms of what the department is saying to us, but when we look at understaffing, there's a high vacancy rate. In terms of the air crew, there's a 41% vacancy rate. In terms of combat navy, 43%. Engineers, 57%, almost 58%. Technical, 38% or 31%. Now, there's a high vacancy rate, which means the funded posts within this department, the funded posts, there is underspending of that money. And therefore, the claim that there's a shortfall becomes then questionable. And I think the department needs to be very clear on the balancing act when they do not fill these positions that are funded within money is sitting in an account that is not being used, and we claim we need more money, but the money is not being used properly. So I think that is the worry, because it also undermines the performance of the department. The other one I want to just raise quickly. Just run into it. Yes, I mean, I see that they've also given us a breakdown of the 8 departments. Today we just wanted to have a brief of the administration, program 1, but we got, of course, an overview of the finances of all 8 programs. What should have happened is not giving us the budget allocation, but the actual spending of the 15 programs that's under, sub-programs that's under the administration. Not a budget allocation. We know the budget allocation. I want to know what has transpired to date. Like they've given us for the 8 programs, they should actually have given us for the 15 sub-programs, so that we can actually see what the performance was for each and every program. Because there are some issues there that is high overspending on the allocation. There's also unfunded commitments that money was spent on and that has not been mentioned at all. So this is just gloating over the issue and not actually seeing the detail of the specific admin which we had to be briefed on here today. I didn't get a full brief, therefore, on the admin, sir. I think that should be fine, sir. Thank you very much.
No, I was just going to say, I thought that you said we should take it as a small brief that is informing us today. You know, when members now start talking and coming to conclusion that there's bloating and there's misinformation, it doesn't mean that they are beginning to put words into the presentation itself. It's gone way beyond what it is supposed to be and what they are directing us to look for. So I was just saying that, can you just advise the members that to say to us this report was really limited. It couldn't go into the exact details of everything that was being expected.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nyan. Can we then ask if there is any response on Mr. Jamin? Oh, yeah, the leader of...
Thank you, Chair. You said it before we went to break by asking what we would like Parliament, this House, PCD, to do for us in order to assist the department. We were giving a brief. We indicated our achievements. We also indicated the challenges together with how the department is dealing with those challenges. So we would like the PCD to note the achievements and the challenges, but to also assist us as we in our efforts to negotiate with National Treasury on getting more funding in order to release those funding pressures that we've indicated. We will also be getting into engagement as we would be seeking funding for the implementation of the defense review. So we are also in engagement. We've indicated that we are engaging with the PCD, with the Department of Public Works, to devolve some of the maintenance functions. So if it also comes from the PCD to help us to increase the voices of the importance of getting these maintenance functions to the department and also getting more money, we will appreciate that. But to respond to Member Isao about the adequacy of the briefing, we can always provide the additional information in writing. If there is a requirement for us to provide spending on sub-program by sub-program on Administration 1, we can provide that information in writing, say. But I would like General Ramaswana to respond on APEC and how we are planning to fund it within year and what are the plans for outer year. We have made this, again, the funding of APEC, we have made it visible to National Treasury and National Treasury then, but for the outer years and only when we commit. If there would be a requirement for commitment, but it's about the speakers on that. Mrs. Zondi can talk about procurement, the asset management, and how we could use IT to integrate asset management in the department.
Doctor, Honorable Chairperson, thank you. I'm going to take the first question on AFRIC. Honorable Chairperson, in the department, there is every year an exercise that is conducted by the South African Army, of course, supported by the Air Force as well as the Military Health Services. Now, in terms of force preparation for this year, what we then did is that exercise we have redirected the forces that have been identified for the ASRIC to be the ones that should be exercised, and that includes a battalion group which is from the Army and contingents from the Air Force as well as from other services and divisions. So that was meant to try and save the funding and to be able to use that which we had in the case of the Army and other services to redirect that to be able to exercise the ASRIC. And in terms of next year, as it was pointed out in the presentation, what is required there, an MOU, as the presenter has pointed out, has been sent to National Treasury with those requirements. But in this year, we felt that we needed to do to redirect those funds to exercise the African capacity for immediate response to crisis. Thank you, Chairperson.
Much.
Mr.
Zoni?
Thank you very much, Chair. The question on IT systems and asset management, Chair, I will tackle it in three ways. I think it covers three areas. The first area is that isn't there an off-the-shelf ICT system that could be bought, and with minor modifications or customization, it could be adopted for use within the DoD as an NDF environment. Chairperson, the answer to that is definitely yes, there is. The members will remember that some time ago, National Treasury imposed a moratorium on upgrading or buying of new ICT systems pending the implementation of the project called IFMS, which is Integrated Financial Management Systems, which was managed by National Treasury and implemented by CETA. And this program was supposed to come into effect in 2005, and we were told that it was now 2010, and it was moved to 2014. Now we've been told that it's unlikely to happen in the next 3 to 4 years. And we, since then, we have been trying to get an exception or an exemption from the moratorium so that we could continue to actually implement an enterprise-wide ICT system for our management of our tangible and ultimately intangible assets. So we are still in negotiations, as we have indicated in our board challenges and mitigation. And again, like the Acting Secretary for Defense has mentioned, Chairperson, this is where wherever the members and the committee could assist, we'll really appreciate assistance here in ensuring that as soon as possible we are given this exemption so that we can go ahead. But I must mention that in the meantime, we've been able to implement some cosmetic changes to our ICT system. And that covers the second part of the question, which is about inventory management. That the OC should be able to capture at this level certain details of inventory management to an extent that the information required for completeness and hence the avoidance of the qualification should be done. The member is absolutely correct. That has been done, and Chairperson, that is why we are happy to say that there is no qualification whatsoever for the first time on tangible assets. And it's because of the effort that's been put in spite of being crippled by insufficient system integration, but we've been able to, with cosmetic changes and a whole lot of work on trying to put a standby team full-time on making sure that all the data is channeled to one place, we've been able to remove the qualification on tangible assets, including inventory. The last part of the question was about the actual qualification. I would like to mention, Chair, that the qualification is on intangible capital assets. It is a challenge that we've had because before we were not necessarily required to disclose it, and now we have to go back into archives of many years before to try and quantify what was the intellectual property on each project and be able to value it and then disclose of it and disclose even and make sure that correlates to the prior year. So it is an exercise that's a full project on its own, and we've implemented through an operational center the same type of system that we did when we were doing the tangible capital, the tangible assets. We are now implementing an operational center to deal with this specifically. However, Chairperson, the challenge of the integrated ITC system still remains, because as members will know, ideally what you want is a totally integrated system with operations and finance, to an extent that when the item of inventory is delivered at the stores and the storekeeper captures it, it automatically records to the CFO's environment, so that when they generate the invoice, they know that this asset has been delivered. Once you have a seamless enterprise-wide system like that, you will be able to control even activities that happen, as my colleague said, 800 kilometers away from DHQ. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. That is done. Or if the written response, you should submit it by the 16th of September, so that members must have it by the 17th of September. Thank you very much. Honorable members, can we move to the presentation by military veterans? We are going to wrap our meeting at exactly 1 o'clock, so you have to run to your challenges. And, yeah, thank you, TJ.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Our delegation has been duly introduced. I'll just go straight into the presentation and we'll skip some of the slides. But before going into the details, just indicate as
I was checking your slide. I was checking your presentation in terms of the brief. If you can concentrate on slide from 13, eh? I think that's where you show us your challenges and so on, to up to 17. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. We'll start then with 13 and then take the rest of the presentation as read. Now, in terms of what is in the slide 12, the challenges that impede delivery of services. It's the whole matter of dependency on other departments for execution of some of the areas or issues that are within our mandate. In fact, when the honorable members look at our legislation in terms of Section 5, we do not, as the Department of Military Veterans, have the original mandate for delivery on some of those benefits and services to military veterans. So that dependency is one of the challenges that are delaying the delivery to military veterans, despite having an available budget for such, and despite in certain instances having made transfers to those departments or even to the provincial administration. And then secondly, the matter of the slow progress in the installation of IT systems. This was the case in the first quarter, ending June. We are, however, we'll report better in the next quarterly report, because we've made some progress on that installation of IT systems. And then the whole issue of misalignment of understanding in terms of the implementation of the provisions of the Military Veterans Act, insofar as norms and standards are concerned. And then furthermore, the availability of senior officials during the period under review, starting with yours truly, the CDG and the CFO to a large extent during that entire period. So that in itself had an impact on that. And then the issue of completion, approval, and implementation of departmental prescripts. that was underway, it had already started but had not been completed during that period under review. Furthermore, addressing the audit findings, which the Auditor General has been busy with and pointing out, and we should conclude that very soon. We got some extensions in that regard. And then the full compliance with financial regulatory framework, and then staffing vacant posts with committed, qualified, and competent personnel. So those are some of the challenges. But in terms of how we'll address them, we've already started with the workshops in the provinces to increase this understanding, but also to ensure that there's capacity building so that we can fill the vacant posts, to re-examine the structure of the Department of Military Veterans. The members should know that the structure of the Department of Military Veterans was created before the legislation was passed by Parliament. So we are still living in a structure that was done prior to finalization of the legislation that is currently governing the Department of Military Veterans. And then, of course, furthermore, to finalize and implement departmental policies. Most of them to date have now been finalized, at least in the second quarter. On oversight, a full involvement of management in crucial issues and crucial areas, the revitalization of the Treasury instructed structures, that is specifically in the supply chain management process, the bid adjudication committees, the bid evaluation committees, and the budget control committee. Those have now been promulgated, but that's a matter for the second quarter. In the first quarter, that was the challenge, and we've now addressed that. And then enhanced internal controls, as well as the progress feedback on the those different structures, the portfolio committee, foresight, and so on, and the AGSA. On consultations, we are in continuing consultations with the National Treasury, as well as with other national departments, to just see how we can enhance our capacity, specifically insofar as addressing the challenges concerned. And such consultations include the Department of Defense as well, in addition to National Treasury. In terms of the reliable military veterans database, as prescribed in the Act, that the department has a responsibility to maintain a secure and reliable database for the provision of benefits. The challenges in that regard have been the security of the database and then also the updating of personal information by the military veterans. Now, the further challenge that has been highlighted, although not indicated there, is the issue of the delayed completion of the database verification process. That is underway, and the mitigation strategy with respect to that, we're looking at and have been instructed to complete that process by the end of December 2014, subject to cooperation of the Military Veterans Association as well as the military veterans themselves. The other mitigating factors, of course, are the speeding up installation of IT systems with CETA to ensure the security of the database, and then those special campaigns to increase awareness to military veterans insofar as the verification process and the database process is concerned. Insofar as benefits that military veterans are eligible to, military veterans and their dependents, and those are listed in accordance with the provisions of the Act on services and benefits, specifically in the Program 2 Environment of Socioeconomic Support. The target as indicated there for 2014-15 financial year and the progress to date. Starting with access to healthcare services per year, the target for 2014-15 was indicated as 7,000. Progress to date against the first quarter is 4,690 to end of June. With respect to access to transport, the target was 2,000. Progress has not been registered because we have not completed the framework against which there will be such access of military veterans to public transport, either free or subsidized by the state. And then on housing, again, we have not completed the framework on this as well. Again, it's the matter we highlighted earlier about the dependencies on other entities or departments insofar as delivery is concerned. And then on the database, a credible and secure database, as well as the benefit information system located within the database, the target was 75%. As of the end of the first quarter, we were at 39.9%. And then insofar as education support is concerned, education support to military veterans and or their dependents, we've been able to provide over the target that was indicated of 500. That was the global target. And then furthermore, on the special purpose vehicle and delivery targets that were set, this has not been concluded, and we have not registered progress in that regard. We expect that in the third quarter, we should have concluded the issues around the functioning of the special purpose vehicle. And then the access to relevant training and skills development per year, the target that was registered was 2,500, and the progress to date 604 as of the end of the first quarter. And in terms of the reduction in the level of unemployment amongst military veterans, in particular the non-statutory forces, its 2,000 targets, 455 have been able to have such access. And then on the memorial site erected, we have not been able to erect such. Again, here dependencies on the other departments of state, primarily the Department of Public Works, Arts and Culture, and so on. But those are ongoing discussions, and we should report better progress in the next quarterly report. On the issue of the strategic initiatives established nationally, continentally, our target was 15, but we have not been able to conclude those in the first quarter. We will have a better report in the second quarterly report when we return. And on the private sector companies that are in partnership with the Ministry of Veterans Department, the target was 10. At the end of the first quarter, we had registered 83 such private sector entities in partnership with the Department of Ministry of Veterans. To speed ahead into the first quarterly performance reports for that period ending June, our approved budget and program structure is in place, and then overall quarterly performance analysis that we are presenting to yourselves, and then our contribution as well to the National Development Plan, the medium-term strategic framework outcomes, and the executive authority priorities. In terms of the performance against those set targets and program, that we've indicated, program one on administration, two, socioeconomic support, three, empowerment and stakeholder, and then overview of that performance. On our approved program and budget structure, under administration, we have that the sub-programs, management, corporate services, financial administration, internal audit, strategic planning, policy development, monitoring and evaluation, as well as office accommodation. And on the socioeconomic support, we then have the database and benefits management, healthcare and well-being services, socioeconomic support management. And on the third program, empowerment and stakeholder management, provincial offices and stakeholder relations, empowerment and skills development, and then also heritage, memorials, burials, and honors. Overall first quarter performance analysis, we've committed to 22 performance areas during the quarter under review. We have been able to, out of the 22, reach 15 of such areas as targeted, and that 15 constitutes 68% of overall achievement. In terms of expenditure, we've been able to spend only 8% of budget, which translates to 40 million for the first quarter. The variance, therefore, is 125 million. That is the actual quarterly figure we should have attained, looked at against the background of the overall budget of 504 million. So there is a underspend on the first quarter during this financial year. And there you see the graphs that indicate the targets planned, targets achieved, as well as our performance rating across all the programs and with that global feeder. In terms of other areas linked to the executive authority priorities, I'll just highlight a few without going into all 10 of them, as indicated, with respect to ensuring a fully functional Department of Military Veterans with an independent vote, independent systems and processes. We have been able to table our 2013-14, we've submitted the 2013-14 annual report to the Auditor General already, as well as the National Treasury, the fourth quarter report as well, and then monitoring guidelines for performance information also have been done. We've been able to also translate some of the manuals into different languages to be in compliance with that. And then the submission of gazetting for some of the Section 15 documents to enable the ministerial approval. Then the putting in place the chief information officer, and then the submission and payment of outstanding rentals for our building and so on. On the provision of immediate social relief of distress to the most vulnerable of military veterans, we have, in the period under review, been able to intervene in specifically 693 cases of military veterans who have since been enabled to access social relief of distress during that first quarter. And this we've been able to do in collaboration with the Department of Social Development at the national level using their agency SASA. And then on the linkage to the executive authority priorities, as indicated in the Section 5, to provide subject to availability of resources, a comprehensive support service to military veterans and where applicable to their dependents, but not limited to acquiring health care and wellness center, access to health support, honor and memorialization of military veterans, education, training, and skills development, and facilitation of employment placement, facilitation of or advice on business opportunities. On healthcare, to report progress to date on all of those areas, 4,690 military veterans have been provided with healthcare support. That's an ongoing program beyond that, the first quarter against which we're reporting. And then on honor and memorialization, we've only compiled the report. We've not been able to deliver anything extensive with respect to that during the first quarter. On education, training, and skills development, 645 bursaries provided to military veterans and dependents. Not the majority, of course, it is the dependents, but they are actually military veterans who also benefited from that. On training and skills development, 604 military veterans have been trained in various disciplines, in sewing, welding, driving skills, as well as artisan skills in the context of the solar geyser training project that was sponsored by the Energy Sector Education and Training Authority. And then on employment, we've been able to place 455 in construction and maintenance. This in the context of an MOU that we entered into with the Department of Water Affairs nationally, but the project delivered in Mpumalanga, as well as separately those that were workshopped as part of that global feeder with the Agricultural Research Center. And these have, most of them have fixed-term contracts, most of that of those in that feeder of employment. On business opportunities, we have various MOUs that we will enter into so that we affect the business opportunities for military veterans. Those are with the State Department as well as the private sector and or parastatals as well, I should indicate. On the matter of subsidization or provision of the other benefits with respect to public transport, housing, burial support, pension, on public transport and housing, as indicated, we have no not been able to deliver on those two. On housing, even if there is no house or number of houses that are physically now standing or under construction, we have concluded an MOU already. It's 2 years old now. But we are continuing with engagement of provinces to finalize service level agreement with all the provinces, and recently just done that with the Western Cape. On burial support, we have been able to bury a number of military veterans during the first quarter, and we do have a database of those that we've been able to assist with the burial support during the reporting period. The figure will provide the exact figure later. On pensions, we have not concluded this. The framework is being finalized between ourselves, DMV and the National Treasury, as well as the GEPF and the other entities that are working closely with the National Treasury within the finance and actuarial services environment. On the promotion of the heritage and the memorialization and honoring, I'll just zoom in on the issue of establishment of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, the issue of the restoration of graves, the issue of the Hero's Acre, the issue of the Armed Struggle Memorial and Museum, the issue of memorializing the founding military veterans, and then also the development of programs to profile the heritage vested within military veterans. And so on progress to date, we've already started the project to have a national database of existing memorial sites. So ours that we talked to would be in addition to those that are in place. We've also, in the context of engagement, had a session with a delegation from Tanzania, the Tanzanian Minister of Defense. And then also, we are in continued discussion with Public Works to resuscitate what was already constructed before even the establishment of the Department of Military Veterans, the Wall of Remembrance that is currently standing at Kawaweta in Kampala, Uganda. And then furthermore, to look at creating new partnerships on issues of military veterans with other countries, priority being with countries in the Southern African region before going even beyond that. On the empowerment programs for military veterans, we did indicate that we should finalize the SPV special purpose vehicle by the end of the third quarter and operationalize it. On contribution to reconciliation and nation building, I'll skip that. That is actually falling in the next slide on confirming and deepening the skills base of military veterans. And to date, in that regard, 604 military veterans have been trained as well, and that's a repetition of the previous one. On the high-impact communication and marketing strategy, we have been able to do that in the context of projects that we've been able to launch in partnership with the other departments or entities, in particular the Water Affairs Project in late March, early May, early April, the partnership with the Department of Communications before it was reconfigured on the digitization project, Ministry of Veterans Digitization Project, and then the launch of the call center of the DMV, and then furthermore maintaining a website and promoting DMV programs through media relations and the social network website. And we've spoken about the database. Just performance against the set targets as per our APP. I'll zoom in only on the red areas, which are areas that we wish to flag for further and immediate intervention. On the number of deserving military veterans with decent housing per year, we are in red, and this part of the presentation is basically lifted from also the report of the MPAT, and that is the indication, and we've indicated the challenges there in terms of the delivery on housing for military veterans. The other red at the bottom there, truth with respect to military veterans memorial site being erected per year, and our target was originally 2. We have not yet even laid a brick. If we can skip further to the next red. The next red is on that slide, which is the access to transport. We did indicate the challenges there, and then also housing again. And then the other one is the SPV. We've indicated the challenges there. And then the second last on that slide, the memorial sites. And then strategic initiatives entered with the national, provincial, and also continental and international levels. Also, that's in the red, is a matter we'll be attending to. Chair, this part, which is the last part, just gives an overview of our establishment, the DMV establishment, and the extent to which they are fit on the ground, starting right from level 1 up to 16, and looked at against the number of posts approved on the establishment, the number of funded posts, the number of permanent posts filled, as well as the number of vacant posts, and those posts that have been collapsed, and then contract posts that are additional to the establishment, and those are the figures as indicated. I conclude at that point and would like to indicate that we are open for any comments, questions, clarifications. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DG. I suggest that the honorable members, if there are any questions, you may pose those questions, and then the department will respond by written reports. Honorable Nisi?
Chairperson, I understand this part of the housing. So I wanted to check on the issue of medical aid. I understand that military veterans, they do have the medical aid, but their wives and their mothers or their dependents are not able to be part of the medical aid. Just know that, so, and how can it be changed? And then I don't think I need to explain, because I think everybody here, the department, would understand that these guys are breadwinners at their homes, most of them. So if now you are saying your mother, an old woman, can't have access to the medical aid that you have as your son, I mean, what is that? I think, Chris, if we can have a clarification on that. The other one is their children in schools. And there are schools like where they might be interested to go. I'm interested to know why maybe the department is not talking to like the air schools. Because there's one which is next to Port of Alfred, I think it's 43 or 43, whatever. Now, I know some of them are interested to get their children there, and but I'm not sure how the department can negotiate on that, so that at some point when they're interested to get to those schools, they can be. But equally, when they've taken their children to private schools or the schools which were, what were they calling them? Model C schools. At times they find it very difficult to get the payment. I'm not sure whether who's paying for their children, whether it's the department or who, but that's what they're complaining about in terms of the education of their children. Now, another question that I wanted to know, I understand that you are bringing people, I mean, the bones of the remains of comrades from these places back to South Africa. They are in the process towards, I'm hearing every now and again what is happening. But one thing that I wanted to know, we're talking about bringing the remains. What about their children? Because I remember something about Kampala when we were there, 2012. We met a lady there, and then this lady, her name was Lindiwe. And then we asked, how can you be Lindiwe in here? What does that mean? And she started explaining that no, his father left and then he's back in South Africa, now he's there. So I'm just interested to know when we are bringing back the bones, I mean the remains, what are you thinking about their children? Who might be one of the people that were chasing in these townships and then saying they are Guareguares? Because maybe they are thinking about coming back to check for their parents. But I'm just trying to know what you think about that. I know it might be very difficult, but I'm not sure. And on this part of the MOU on housing, my interest is to know, do you have maybe links with it? Because it's not going to be easy to have MOU with only Human Settlement Department, but also the municipalities, because that's where exactly people are registering for housing. So if you don't have it, I think you need to extend it to the municipalities. And also it means you must have database of these interred veterans in the localities so that you can be able as department to monitor whether is it being implemented at that level of the municipality. And also if we can also, when you have that database as members, have that database so that in the areas that we are visiting and when we are also oversighting, we will be able to also assist the department on that, on this part of housing. Thank you, sir. I'll ask others when we've got enough time.
Thank you, Honorable Nisi. Any more questions? We have 5 minutes for questions. Obviously, we'll get responses, written responses. Honorable Ramakata.
Thank you, Chair. I think we need to get an explanation in terms of a study payment. It's not only at the level of primary education, but there's a serious challenge in terms of payment in relation to bursaries given to veterans. The second point is, you know, a medical aid, I would say specifically in relation to the family, the wife and the kids, you know. Maybe other things you can look at, because, you know, I think the parents must be now on their own or dependent of one another in the process. But we are talking of military veterans here, and they came back, they got married, or they brought their wives along from out there, and they have kids. And then you say you'll only cover the parents and not their kids in terms of medical benefit. So I don't get the logic behind that. Can you please give us the reason behind that decision? The housing, I just want to know, do you still want to get into MOU with the Department of Human Settlement, or are you going the route of the budget of housing for veterans be given to your department and you managing that? Because, you know, the act on this was passed long time ago, and even the plans and everything were approved, I think, years ago. And there's not even a single one that has benefited in housing. So whether there has been discussions or MOU, it is not working. What is it that you are doing to resolve this matter once and for all? I think the municipalities, then we, an MOU for land availability? And what is your approach as well in terms of providing houses for them? Because in the past I've heard that they have to identify, or municipalities give them a specific a piece of land somewhere where houses will be built for veterans. So I don't think you are reintegrating them in the society if that is the approach. You are now taking them to another barracks. They've been in exile, they've been in prison, they've been in military. So let's work towards reintegration of veterans into the society. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Ramakata, can we wrap up, Honorable Isaf?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, of course, I thought it was just going to be a brief thing, and we will probably have to keep on in a more lengthy discussion about it. But nonetheless, we will prepare questions as well, additional questions for the department. At this moment, the responses given to a number of the issues are very just broad strokes, no details to it. For instance, the SLAs and MOUs, which is important to implement the benefits, they says most of it's complete. Now, that is not an answer. We'd like to know all of it and exactly which ones and where they are, because it's a long list of SLAs and MOUs that needs to be finalized, and we'd like to know the status of each and every one, when, and because otherwise we can't implement the benefits. The second one is the misalignment that they're working on in terms of the Act. I think we want to have some more detail about those engagements and what exactly is the misalignment against the Military Veterans Act in terms of norms and standards. And, of course, this will also impact on our previous discussion on the regulations, where we gave further input on those regulations. And I don't know if there were further amendments made, because it didn't come back to Parliament for further amendment and to be adopted by Parliament. The other one is, of course, the internal audit report that happened. Of course, we know that there is a position taken by the Ministry regarding the matter. But the consequences of it, I can see that the matter of procurement and SCM has been dealt with and being focused on, but we'd like to know if there are consequences for those particular individuals that have abused our system. The other one is the staffing. I see the staffing is now 135 is funded posts, but the position that has been submitted to DPSA was 169 in total. I see 122 has been appointed. Now, what are the other posts that are actually not filled? Because there were critical posts that were not filled, which means that the department cannot function optimally with a lack of staff. And we'd like to know which posts are not filled. I know there are contract posts and other things, and we did object also to the EE requirements in terms of its own policy that is not abiding to. The other one we want to raise is the issue of the database, which I have a great concern about. I see that 39, almost 40% only of verification, and the target set is the one of 75% for this financial year, which means it won't be completed this year, although the minister said that December is the cut-off date that database must be completed. Now, my concern is also in terms of the 57, that's in terms of 57,000. All those measurements are in terms of 57,000 military vets on a database. Now, all the other CPRs have not been incorporated, and all those CPRs are available with this department from the statutory forces and even from other, the one of Azanda, we know the 3,000, that is the one that is still in the consideration that must be added. But all other CPRs have been put to one side, and only 57,000 have been focused on. And I think it's also unfair, because there are a number of other people, it may not be a majority, it's a minority, but they need to be addressed. And they've been completely neglected. And I think that is against our responsibility in terms of the Military Veterans Act, which defines who are all the military veterans. So I'm extremely unhappy the approach adopted by the department, which is a very, I would say, prejudiced approach to the issue, and it's not actually incorporating military veterans and building the harmony that we were speaking about and reconciliation for our country. The other one, of course, is the issue of the various benefits that have been issued. I see the target is being set for housing at 1,000, and then, of course, we're looking at the number given, but I think it was, there are different figures of 550, of 600, and I've complained about this, these figures that have been given that are inconsistent. The department needs to be accurate. When they quote the figure, they maintain a figure, and we have to get an update against that figure that is being projected as a target. And I think that has not been very accurate. These members that have been appointed or been selected as beneficiaries, they've been done so in terms of regulations and the means test and the criteria. That is what is expected. So there was some issue before those things were even finalized by Parliament. And there were a number of reasons given why they just proceeded with those benefits being issued. But we must understand, along with the delay, we are giving to certain people benefits, and I don't think many of these benefits can be done retrospectively, which means if somebody is past the school age, they can't benefit from it because the age is not there and they cannot therefore benefit from that. So if they were properly registered, they could then apply for the benefits. At this stage, the majority of people have not been registered on the database and therefore they cannot apply for any benefits. So we're sitting with a problem that the department needs to put in extra manpower to get this database completed and also merge as one national database. At this moment, we have a database and many CPRs out there that has not been merged. So that is a great concern for me. And I think the department needs to deal with that issue specifically. The burial support, they say there's a database available. We'd like to know what is the database and on what is it based. Because our discussion, Honorable Chair, if I remember correctly, we asked that is the person required to be on the database. It was said, no, the person just needs, if he dies, his family needs to come forward with the force number. And, of course, some proof of it, and then apply to the department, and the amount must not exceed 25,000 if there was expenditure incurred. And we said that we must consider issuing the money before the funeral takes place because many of our military veterans are indigent and cannot afford even a proper funeral service. So that one we'd like to know exactly what is the decision on it, and also the skills database. The skills base in terms of the employment that needs to be done. Clearly, we're working on a very, very ad hoc basis. There is no proper system in place to look at the skills audit of military veterans and therefore to find proper placement for them or training for them. That skills audit was promised to us that it will be undertaken, and I haven't seen sight of that audit yet. The expenditure is, I'm just thinking of the variance of the 8% that is allowed in terms of underspending or overspending, and how this department actually performed. Unfortunately, I didn't receive my documents. I was here last night. This morning I came straight to the department to the meeting, and apparently they did drop it this morning in my box. So nonetheless, the request is that we measure the department's performance in the first quarter against the budget allocation and projected budget for the first quarter, and actually see the exact underspending, overspending, and spending on items that have not been committed to. That I'll have to deal with properly after the meeting, and I will take questions on that, sir. I think that should be fine for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Issao. Most of the questions which were asked here, I think they need an immediate response. If you can respond to the questions before the 16th or by the 16th of September, so that we must present them to the committee the following day. That will be to our greatest pleasure. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.